Welcome on into Off the Record, the official podcast of the Erie Otters, Season 2, Episode 2. Got another great guest to bring you here over this summer in the off season. Caleb Smith joining us here today. We'll talk to him in just a moment. For now, my name is Trevor Cabea, and thank you so much for joining us here. Now we are joined here by Caleb Smith, the pride of Western New York. Caleb, thank you so much for taking some time out and joining us here today.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know, first of all, how's your offseason been going in terms of workouts, anything you've been doing just to get prepared as we get closer here to training camp?
Working out right now, skating. The workouts are starting to get amped up for more cardio-wise towards the end of summer because got a long season ahead of us. Working on a lot of speed stuff in the gyms right now because I think that's one of the things I need to improve on this season.
Can you talk a little bit about as well, like how important some of the activities you do over the summer can be in terms of growing as not only as a player, but also just in terms of being ready and staying healthy throughout the season?
The main focus in the summer is to get bigger, stronger, faster. And then during the season, it's your main goal is to kind of maintain what you've done over the summer as best as possible. I mean, it's hard. It's a long season and you go through ups and downs throughout the season. So body wise and mentally wise. So I think just to kind of prepare yourself in the off season as much as you can for the long battle and season. So
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing we talked a little bit about with Malcolm Spence, which was our last episode we did here over the summer, was kind of the communication between the Otters and yourself and how it's all tied together with, you know, the coaches you work with over the off season and how that all kind of ties back to the Otters.
Our off season training, I mean, we all have different trainers. I mean, some of us have the same ones, depends where you live and stuff like that. I know I work with a skating coach from Canada and some of the guys on our team also work with that same skating coach. So we definitely keep in touch for sure. We have Zoom calls once a month that kind of brings all the guys together too. So it's been good.
One thing we talked about with Malcolm as well, the group chat is always popping and you guys always staying in touch that way as well. And kind of that little more laid back conversation as well.
We joke around a lot in that group chat and stuff like that. So it's a great way to keep in touch. So
now, you know, talking a little bit about yourself, doing a little research, talking to Sean Bednard, of course, the voice of the Erie Otters, he told me that you had grown up on a farm. So
yes.
That's so cool to hear. So can you talk a little bit about that and maybe how some of those experiences are able to tie into hockey?
Yeah. My grandpa, he started off our farm with, he had dairy cows, about 200 dairy cows. And then my grandpa sold all those cows now because he's a little older and stuff. So now he just does crops really. So like corn, wheat, soybeans, that kind of stuff. And then my dad owns a beef farm. So he has about around 100 cows or so. And he actually sells beef to like local people around here and stuff like that. And then he doesn't really do as much crops as more hay and corn, but just growing up on a farm, I mean, it shows you how hard my dad has worked and my grandpa has worked. So it's like, it's not the closest down ice, but it shows you how you have to work to become successful.
How did you start getting into hockey?
My uncle, he's the coach for Mercyhurst D1 men's program. And he was at Niagara at the time. And he kind of just got me skating and got me rolling with that. I think I was 2.5 when I started skating because my brother was 3. My older brother was 3. So
obviously a little Erie connection there as well. So when you found out you were going to be coming to Erie, did you kind of have that little bit of familiarity? Obviously not growing up too far from Erie.
Not too much. I mean, if there was one place in the EO I wanted to go, it was Erie for sure, just because of how close it was to home. And I mean, I have a bunch of family and friends come down to every game. The home opener of my first season, we had 90 or so family and friends down there for the home opener. So it was pretty crazy, but it's just nice to have that support around and being so close. Talked to my uncle a little bit about Erie. I don't think he wanted me to go to Erie. I think he wanted me to go to Mercyhurst, but it's an awesome city and there's no other place I'd rather be.
The little fan club you have as well, how special is that night in and night out at the rink?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I really couldn't be more happier with seeing the family members and the friends after the games and stuff like that. So it's nice for sure to see your parents every other weekend because some guys on the team or league don't really see their parents often, like our Russian Kulikov. So that's got to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. We had him on our last episode of last season, and hearing kind of how tough it is when you go from, you know, obviously growing up in Russia and so far from the U.S. and then moving to the U.S., obviously you kind of have the opposite of that, really, where you grow up about an hour and a half or so from the rink. So that's cool to see it. And, you know, how much of that do you think has been kind of an advantage for you, you know, playing so close to home?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I don't have to worry about not seeing someone for so long, or like, even it's nice to talk to my parents after the game and just get their feedback of what they thought night in and night out. So it's pretty nice.
And then obviously you mentioned your uncle. How close are you guys now? Does he kind of help you out in terms of, you know, maybe type of advice he can give, obviously, as a coach?
I mean, it's hard. He can't make too many of my games just because of his season, but I made one last year, and it's nice to have. You can bank on him when you need him. And it's actually funny because where I billet Neary is, he lives not even 2 miles away. So it's pretty worked out. But yeah.
For you as well, obviously a really solid season for you all around. First season, double digit goals. What do you think allowed you to have such a great year?
I put in a lot of work last year. I worked with a skating coach last year from Canada, and I think it improved my skating and my speed tremendously. And I think that's how I had a lot of opportunity this year with goals wise. I mean, I didn't really set a very high expectation when I was after my first year with just one goal. So I knew I had to do something better and bigger. And so I just wanted to kind of get that, but I wanted mostly to just help the team win, and really that's about it.
Certainly fun to watch. And I think for me, you know, watching the games from the booth, you were certainly noticeable every shift. And I think that is like such a cool thing to hear. And whether it be a big goal late in a game, a big hit late in a game, I think that was something that definitely stood out. For you as well, kind of going a little bit back in your hockey career, a little bit of time in the USHL, I believe it was only 6 games, the Omaha Lancers of the USHL, but how did that experience kind of translate into the OHL, and you know, what experiences from that time were you able to kind of take with you?
The USHL is the top premier league for the college route. So I think it was a really good experience. Being 15 hours away from home wasn't the best. I was only out there for 3 months, and I was just going up to be a call up and be up there for 2 weeks. And then the coach asked me if I wanted to stay for the rest of the year. And I was like, yeah, I think that's the best development I'm going to get right now. Is it was COVID year. So no one was playing hockey. The O wasn't playing hockey. So I was like, I thought to myself, I think this is the best option for me. So I stayed up there for the remainder of the season. Had first time billeting, had great billets. They were awesome. It kind of just got my feet wet into junior hockey, really. I mean, and then coming to Erie was a smoother transition, I think, than what I thought for the billeting, living away from home wise, just because I did it for 3 months. And if I was 15 hours away, I think I could do it for 8 months. So the main reason, like, I think when Erie said they would give me a schooling package, I thought that was the best option for me, because nothing's guaranteed until you really sign your NLI, I think it is. I thought that O was the best route for me at the time, and so that's why I chose the OHL.
College is definitely a very worthwhile route, but I mean, I feel like even in the OHL alone, you see the amount of guys that make it to the next level from the OHL is fantastic. And, you know, I believe this is something I talked about with Malcolm as well a couple weeks ago, is the O like really allows you to kind of grow up as a person, as a player. And it's certainly just, you know, one of the best leagues in the world to not only mold you as a hockey player, but also as a person.
I agree with that. I think it's just a more professional ran league than any league you're going to play in, right? I mean, obviously the Dub and the Q are the same way, but I think it's the most pro-like league to get you ready for the next level.
Growing up around it, I feel like the O is very well-rounded, where, you know, the WHL has kind of had that reputation as kind of, you know, a little rougher, Q so high scoring. And I feel like the O is the most, you know, I tell people this all the time, is the closest thing you're going to get in terms of rules, in terms of play style, is you're going to see at the next level. You come into Erie in the lineup pretty consistently throughout the 21-22 season, but then 65 games for you last year. You know, again, what allowed that consistency for you? You know, you're certainly in the lineup and somebody obviously you could count on early on, and then a little bit of development as well, I would say, as well under Stan Butler. How did that change kind of affect your game?
Yeah, I think Stan kind of came in with an open arms and really just wanted to see everyone play, and he gave everyone an equal opportunity for sure, just on allowing, because he never met us, we never met him. So I think it was a kind of prove yourself to him. And I think he really did a good job coming in such a hard time, I think, because he kind of just played everyone, rolled lines. And I think that's how you're going to get the most development out of a team that was on the border making the playoffs then, but then he found out that we weren't going to make it. So I think at that point in time, he was thinking, we just got to roll lines and let everyone develop here. And I think he did an unreal job.
Definitely echoes, you know, talking to him a little bit after a few games, that's kind of what he said. You know, one thing that always stuck with me is he always said, you know, if we were building a house right now, this would be the foundation just being laid. And, you know, I think that is just a perfect way to sum it up and how things are going to be coming into this season. And, you know, for you guys as a group, what's the excitement level like? Obviously only a few weeks away here from training camp at the time of recording this. What's the excitement level for you personally? And, you know, what are kind of the vibes? You know, obviously haven't been able to talk to your teammates too much in person, but from what you have kind of a sense of how the dressing room's feeling.
I think everyone's ready to get back after it. I mean, the off season can only be so long. And I think there's a point in time where everyone's itching to get back. And we have a good, great group of guys. We're all really, really tight. And the new additions that we got this summer are even with Schaefer, the first overall pick, and then Meshack just signing. I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, I haven't been more excited for a year than this year coming up. I think if we just put our head down and prove everyone wrong, because people still think that we're going to be the underdogs, I think we can prove something here.
The excitement level around the organization, like, it's really awesome to see, and it's great to hear, you know, perspectives like that. Of course, talking to Malcolm, same thing, and just it's going to be a fun year. Certainly, and we're definitely excited to get things going here. So kind of bouncing around as well, I was kind of curious, what is your favorite memory of your time so far in Erie?
Probably last year, home opener. Can't really beat a London home opener, and then getting the win, obviously. Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I think any of like the specialty jersey nights are pretty awesome. Just like the causes some of them go to is really good for the city of Erie and for us as teenagers, just because anything we can do to help out for the place that we're in is the least we can do.
You kind of have that platform as well to be able to make a change, whether it even be just a conversation you could have with somebody at one of the nights like we've had last season at Perry's Tavern or the brewery as well, those fan meet and greets.
I just think the fan meets it's nice to get out there, because you always see them that are diehard, that are banging on the glass every game, and just to give to them a little bit is pretty amazing. So
you mentioned the fans. This is kind of a question love to ask everybody we have on. What is your favorite building, excluding the EIA, that you've played in so far in the OHL?
Probably London or Kitchener, just because Kitchener's just a historic place, the building is. And then London, probably just because it doesn't matter what night it is there. I mean, there's 10,000 people. And then also, I played junior Sabres for a while, and we, our family billeted two kids from Ontario, and now one plays on Barrie and then one plays on London. So it's fun to play in London against him. So
yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. And you know, those connections you make back in AAA, and obviously junior Sabres, a very well-known organization for producing some very good talent out of the Western New York area as well. Are you an alumni potentially of the WNYAHL or no?
Don't think so, no.
Because, yeah, when I played years ago, and this is, you know, a little off, but we played out of there from Erie. But, yeah, absolutely. Those connections you make in AAA, and it's so cool to see that coming out into the OHL as well. That's so cool.
All three of us stay in touch quite a bit during the season, and fans won't like this one, but the night me and the Knights player are pretty close, and he was actually training up here with me for a little bit of the summer. So it's been good pushing each other. So
the friendships that, you know, obviously it's a rivalry on the ice, you know, off the ice, not quite as much animosity, right? It's just cool to see with Daniel D'Amato, of course, who you were teammates with 2 years ago and playing against his brother, kind of the same, you know, you have that brotherly love, but
but as well, get off, you can have a laugh or two for sure.
So now kind of transitioning a little bit to off the ice, what are some hobbies that you have? I know you mentioned before jumping on here, little golf for you.
Yeah. I love golf. Just going out with some friends and stuff. I like playing cornhole. That's a big thing around here where I live. Every Thursday night we, play in a cornhole league, which is pretty fun. So kind of just chilling with friends and hanging out like the off season, like during the season. Yeah. I'm so close to home and they can come see me kind of whenever they're off. A lot of my friends, from back home go to school, other places. So it's kind of hard for them to make a game. Resting, nothing crazy. And then working a little bit for our friends right up the road. So
absolutely. And, you know, while you're here in Erie, is there kind of a go-to spot for food or just that you enjoy hanging out?
On off days, me and Malcolm and then George, cause we're all three of us are roommates. We usually go to Blaze Pizza.
What is a typical game day routine for yourself look like?
Wake up in the morning, go downstairs, grab a smoothie that my billet mom prepares usually, and then go head to the rink for an hour, do a stretch and stuff like that. Get everything ready before the game and then head to Lori's, come home, take a nap and then get ready for the game. So.
Are you somebody that would consider yourself like very routine and very superstitious or not?
I have nothing that's going to like mess me up if I don't do it or nothing super, like I'm not very superstitious though.
Is there maybe one person around the team that kind of stands out?
Probably the goalies. The goalies are.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're always a little odd on game days, but it's all right. You got to let them do their thing.
Hey, absolutely. You're going to need them down the stretch, right? So no, that's fantastic. And, you know, kind of bouncing back as well as we'll kind of tie this in as well. When we had Cameron Morton on, he talked about your work ethic and how even just in practice, I can't remember the exact terminology he used. Definitely somebody that could be kind of, I don't want to say irritating, but definitely, yeah. You know, definitely that pushing you to be better. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
When we do scrimmages or like 3-on-3s and stuff like that, I don't know. I just like to, if I score, I like to holler. If I turn over a puck, I just try to frustrate some of the guys just to, you know, kind of give them a little boost or not frustrate them in a bad way, obviously, just to like kind of push them. And I don't know. I just like having fun. Like there's a time and place to have fun and work at the same time. And I think when it comes to like 3-on-3 and battle drills and stuff like that, and say I win, I'm gonna let you know kind of thing. So it's kind of fun to mess around in that way.
Absolutely. And do you think that kind of translates over to games as well and kind of being tough to play against?
One of my main focuses this year is just being harder to play against, like on the puck. And when I don't have the puck, let them know that someone's coming after them. So
one thing as well that we've heard is you are a huge Bills fan, obviously growing up in the Western New York area. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that as well and how that is kind of, according to Malcolm Spence, has kind of become the official NFL team of the Erie Otters a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. Just growing up in Western New York, if you're not a Bills fan, it's kind of like you're not a New Yorker for sure. But I just think, I don't know, me and Terrance went to a game last year actually together, and we met my brother and my mom there, and it was fun. It was his first Bills game, so he enjoyed that. It was on an off day, and then I'd say every other weekend my parents come down, they always bring Bills merch for the team, or like I know for Christmas my mom got all the guys Bills shirts and stuff like that for the team, and they all really enjoyed it. And I think some of them said they would never wear it or something, but I think all of them have worn it. And then Sunday football is usually, most Sundays we don't have games. All the guys get together and usually watch some football. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so cool. And, you know, how something as simple as that can kind of bring the group together really. And, you know, all over watching football. And, you know, you mentioned not too many Sunday games, but certainly more now than I feel like there had ever been, even just growing up and following the Otters. Can it be a little tough sometimes to follow your team?
If anything, I'll check the score after the game. And if we have a game, I'm more worried about our game for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting in a way to check after your game. Say we just won, and then you check and see if the Bills won, then it's a win-win. So yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kind of the guy, I know for me, you know, traveling to broadcast will be, you know, watching a game on my phone or, you know, let's say you guys play at 1 o'clock and the Bills are on Sunday Night Football. Are you kind of the guy to watch the game on the bus?
I think that's happened to quite a few of us. I know Cohen's turned on the game a few times when we're on our way home from a game or something, or if it's UFC or something like that. Cohen was the guy to turn it on.
Yeah, that is definitely a fun way to, hey, it makes the bus ride go a little quicker as well. And again, you can just, you know, everybody huddling around the phone to or the laptop to watch the game as well. Yeah, that's fantastic. So growing up in the Buffalo area, are you a big wings guy?
I'll never pass up a wing. So I'm a stickler to Buffalo. I really only like wings from Buffalo in some certain places, but the wings in Erie, I can't say they're the best.
I'm gonna agree with you on that. I have a bunch of family in the Buffalo area, so there's just something about it. Like pretty much anywhere you go as well, like you're gonna find good bar food in Buffalo. And that's one thing that definitely makes that part of the country just so awesome. I mean, Duff's is personally my favorite. I don't know if you have.
My favorite's probably in East Aurora, which is like 15 minutes from where I live. And it's called the Barbell. Love it there. Okay. So
the Buffalo area has become known for, and obviously tying in with football and the tailgating and just Bills. I feel like it's all kind of become, you know, one thing, especially, you know, during the fall and during the NFL season.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's a big yes.
As we kind of start to wrap things up here, obviously, you know, this will be your third season in the OHL. Maybe a little too early to start looking ahead, but if you were to look ahead, you know, what do you kind of see the plan being like for you?
I just hope to, I mean, give my best effort night in, night out, do anything for the team, really. And I'm hoping, and I want to, at least make the playoffs this year for sure. So.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing I think that, you know, being around the organization as well, it's just that it feels like this is the year and that this has to be the year. And I think, you know, yourself and you know, some of the veteran guys as well, just kind of leading that charge. And, you know, obviously now being your third year in the OHL, has that kind of meant a little bit more of a leadership role for you?
I think I've always had that kind of leadership thing in me. I don't know. I think I just grew up with it. And I'd do anything for any of the guys on our team. I'm pretty close with all the guys on my team. I've no issues with anyone on our team, that kind of thing. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like all the vets did a great job when I came in. So I think treating the first year guys how I came in, if I treat them the same way, they'll do just fine. So I think just helping them along if they have questions or anything. I don't think any first year guy should be scared to ask any one of older guys on the team, because we're all good guys. So I think it's going to be exciting, and I can't wait to get started with the younger group of guys this year. So
something that I think is starting to shift a little bit, not only in hockey, but I see it a lot in baseball as well, as the younger guys kind of having a voice and, you know, having that little bit of flair. And I think that's such a huge for growing the game as well, you know, marketing players, and something that I think is a positive change. And, you know, last thing I have for you, you know, we kind of talked about a little bit of the future, but what is kind of the one thing for you, maybe, you know, besides making the playoffs, one thing you'd love to kind of improve on, and one thing you kind of, you know, like to, when you do move on to the next level, hopefully, or whatever the next stage for you is in life, what is one thing you'd like to kind of leave as a legacy here?
I just think being nice to all the people that I meet outside of the rink, and always going to have, Erie's always going to have a place with me for forever, because my real junior hockey started. So I think not necessarily giving back, but like keeping in touch and staying around, staying close with Erie kind of, and being good to the people that support us every night and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Well, Caleb, we can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much for the time.
Yes, thank you very much.
Caleb Smith, thank you so much for joining us here today. Another episode of On the Record. A reminder, you can catch us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Just search On the Record, OTT The Record, and join us again. We'll have much more content coming out for you over the summer here as we inch closer and closer to training camp preseason. It's not all that far away, so you want to stay tuned for much more content here from On the Record. So for our guest, Caleb Smith, my name is Trevor Cabea. Thanking you so much for joining us here on another edition of On the Record. We'll talk soon.